We're talking about a project on the Chippewa River and how it informs how we study rivers all over. It's The Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer-Ken. Thanks for being here. And over the past decade, the Chippewa River's origin story has come to light with a team of researchers at UW-Eau Claire and dozens of their students. We now know why the river does what it does and how its valley became a suitable place to establish the city of Eau Claire. And we can apply this model to studying other river systems. Did you participate in field research in college? What was that experience like? What questions do you have about our landscape's past? Join in at 800-642-1234. Doug Faulkner is a geography and anthropology professor at UW-Eau Claire, and he's co-authored a study on the geomorphology of the Chippewa River that's received a national award. Doug, welcome to the Ideas Network.
Thank you, Kate. Good morning.
Good morning. So this study of the Chippewa River and the surrounding valley has been going on for a decade. Why is it important to study the geomorphic characteristics of the river, looking super closely at topography and terrain? What clues will geography unlock?
Well, part of it, sort of the initial motivation, is just basic curiosity, curiosity to know how the landscape came to be. But more than that, how the landscape came to be, what its history is, and in the particular the case here, the history of the Chippewa River and its valley, informs us with regard to the state of the river today. Because where the river is right now, what its characteristics are just sort of part of this history that continues to go on, and its past is relevant to its present.
So help us understand a little more, what is geomorphology?
Well, geomorphology, the term literally means the study of earth forms or land forms. And a particular branch of it is what's called fluvial geomorphology, where fluvial comes from the Latin word for river. So it's really the study of land forms that are the result of the action of rivers, or more broadly, flowing water. And what I study, the flowing water I study, is the Chippewa River.
How has the physical landscape in Eau Claire and the Chippewa River Valley, how has that evolved over time? What did this study find out?
Well, I have to go back quite a ways in time for this study. About 30,000 or so years ago, at least best we know.
Give or take.
Glaciers, yeah, give or take. Give or take 1,000 years, right? What's that among
well,
friends?
Yeah. But
a large ice sheet expanded out of Canada. And flowed into the upper part of the Chippewa River watershed. And ice, this glacial ice, stayed within the watershed probably until about, 13 or so thousand years ago. During that time, the lower part of the Chippewa River was a what's called a glacial meltwater stream, carrying flow during the warm time of the year, and lots of sediment coming out of the glaciers. And that was more sediment than the river could transport, and the river filled up its valley largely with sand and gravel. And since that time, the river has been carving down into those deposits of sand and gravel that were left as a legacy of the glaciers, and creating a landforms called terraces, bench-like landforms along the river, as the river has cut down to where it presently is today. And so it's a history that started with respect to our study, about 30,000 years ago. And we're mostly interested in what's happened during that time after the glaciers left and the river cut into these and eroded out these deposits of sand and gravel in its valley.
We're talking with Doug Faulkner. He's a professor of geography and anthropology at UW-Eau Claire. We're talking about this decade-long research project studying the Chippewa River. Doug, how are UW-Eau Claire students involved in the research on the Chippewa?
Well, they've been involved in a number of ways. The initial work on this was doing some basic mapping of the landforms that we're interested in, the stream terraces I mentioned. And that just involved analyzing, interpreting topographic maps and other kinds of maps called digital elevation models, and doing a mapping on computers using a kind of software called GIS software, geographic information software. And then it entailed field work to field check the mapping that we did, interpreting topographic maps and these other digital elevation models. And students were involved in parts of this along the way. And then doing acquiring some samples of a material, this sand and gravel deposits, for a kind of analysis called optically stimulated luminescence, a big word, OSL. It's a way of determining how long ago or how long has it been since the deposits of sand last were exposed to sunlight. Really, when were they deposited?
You also used some aerial maps and had some aha moments through those. What did you find out?
Well, you know, you start seeing, for example, patterns on these surfaces, on the stream terraces that indicate what the river was doing in the past. For example, when the river was this glacial meltwater stream, you know, 20 or so thousand years ago, it had a very different character from what it has today. Today, it's kind of a meandering stream, one channel. Back then, it was what's called the braided river, had a very different character. And it's evolved since that time to what it is today.
Has there been some narrowing of the river over the last, you know, seven decades or so? And does that have anything to do with an invasive aquatic plant?
Well, that's a good question. That was a study that's somewhat separate from the other work we've done over this long term. But we've also looked at the changes in the river over that period of time, about the last seven decades, just analyzing aerial photos. And we've seen that the channel of the river has gotten significantly narrower between Eau Claire and Durand. It seems that, at least in part, that's the result of a plant called reed canary grass, which is a very invasive plant along a lot of water bodies in the state. And it was a surprising result, something didn't expect to find that this grass would have an effect on channel form, but it certainly appears to have. There's a lot more work to be done there to determine that, but that was a very interesting finding, unexpected.
In this study, you recently won a national award, which was noteworthy as a regional university and the lion's share of a lot of this work being done by undergrads. How do you and your colleagues teach students through this research and allow them the ownership of the results?
Yeah, well, that's a great question. But it goes right to the heart of what we do here at UW-Eau Claire, both in my department and actually departments across the university, which is to get students involved in collaborative research with faculty. That is true research. It's going out and creating new knowledge and testing what we think we know. This award, I think, pointed to both the tradition and the effort we put into getting students involved and doing true research. This would not have been done without student involvement, both in the research itself, but also, I have to say, the students largely fund this research. They pay a differential tuition to support undergraduate student-faculty collaboration in research at UWEC. And so they played a very major role across the university, really, in this paper and the award that sort of acknowledged the work and the findings that came out of it.
So in your work studying the Chippewa River, how is that a new way of looking at river evolution and how we can look at other rivers around us?
Well, millennial sort of evolution of the river, millennial scale, something that's been going on for thousands of years, it was a surprising result. It shows that something that happened, during that period of time, 20 to 30,000 years ago with the glaciers in the watershed, and since that time, that rivers, this history that I mentioned, continue to respond to these major climatic changes that happened long ago. It's not really been documented for a river of this scale in the past. And it provides a model for rivers elsewhere in similar situations. And many rivers were affected by glaciation at that period of time long ago. And showing how to understand, like I said before, the modern river really takes understanding what the history of the river has been.
Well, in the last few moments here, do we know everything about the Chippewa River? Where does this research go from here?
No, far from it, actually. I should say
oh,
that
come
this...
on.
That, yeah, no, yeah, I job security, you know, it gives me something to do. But the study, while I think it uncovered some really interesting things, I'm very proud of it, the work that we did with our students, it probably raised more questions than it answered. Led us to a place where we can now make more testable hypotheses, place more testable hypotheses, and continue researching how the river, not just the river itself, but its tributaries, continue to evolve through time.
Doug, thank you so much for joining us.
You're very welcome. Thank you for having me.
Doug Faulkner is a geography and anthropology professor at UW-Eau Claire. He co-authored a study on the geomorphology of the Chippewa River, and he joined us from our WPR studios in Eau Claire. Coming up, we head to France, where the Women's World Cup is underway, and our own WPR colleague is on the ground taking in games, and we'll hear about what to watch for as Team USA defends its title. Let's talk about it right after this news update. Stay with us here on the Ideas Network.